Okay, Ren Ksubis, Samach Zayin Amid Aleph. We are at the 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 lines in the top of the page. Samach Zayin, yeah, 67A1. In the Schattenstein's bottom of the first column. Last time we learned the story with Nachzimin Ben Gurion's daughter. She was getting the wheat out of the manure and all that. Okay. Now the Gemara says like this. Amad, now in the Ksuba it says about gold, right? So it says like this. Amad Rav Shemin Barabba Amad Rav Yechnan. Rav Shemin Barabba said the name of Rav Yechnan. Yechnisa Leizahav, if she brings gold into the marriage of dowry, Shamanesi, we appraise it. Vadehu Kishavyu. It only stays. Remember the Mishnah says if you bring in silver, you have to estimate it for extra, right? And if it's other goods, because they depreciate, you have to take off a certain amount. That's what the Mishnah said. Okay? That 4 dinrim becomes 6 dinrim, right? And if it was something that they took off the, yeah. Okay. Now, the Gemara says over here that if she brings gold, not coins, gold, you evaluate it, and that's what stays the evaluation. May say, said Marcel, I'll ask you a question. It says in the Braise, Hazoha Varehu Kukalim, gold is treated like utensils. Now the Mishnah says, if she brings in utensils, you depreciate them, right? Now they might be worth $100, but you depreciate them a certain amount that they're worth, let's say, 80. So how can our Mishnah say gold stays whatever you appraise it at, when another Braise says that gold is like a regular keli that depreciates? My love, is it not speaking about kikelim shel kesed depachse, like utensils of silver that depreciate? So how can you say gold doesn't depreciate? The Braise seems to say it's a kelim. Says no, that's not what it means. It means kikelim shozov deloipachse. Okay? Gold doesn't go down. Silver kalim goes down in price. Okay? Now, but the pearl in the gold, okay, because it's like this, the Gemara says gold utensils are not subject to depreciation. Silver is, because number one, kalim. And also at the wedding hall, they evaluated too much extra. Remember we learned all that last time. The bottom line is, the Gemara says, that gold doesn't depreciate. And when the Mishnah says, gold is like kalim, it doesn't mean vessels of silver that depreciate. It's a kalim of gold, and it stays the same price. Okay. In Cain, ki kalim mi boile. If that's the case, you're talking about gold. Gold. And gold, kalim, it should say, gold is like kekalim, like its own kalim. Why does it say arehu kekalim, which implies not gold kalim? When you say gold is like kalim, not its kalim, if it say in the Mishnah, gold is like its kalim, which means gold is like gold kalim. But that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says gold is like kalim. That means other type of kalim, which probably means silver, right? So then it would be a problem.
So if they brought in other gold, like a ring or something else, it's still like kalim?
Gold? Gold doesn't depreciate, the Gemara says.
Right.
Right, whatever it is. And then it says like the V'ayit, and another question, V'ayit Tanya, no, the bottom. V'ayit Tanya, another question, it says in the Braise, Zohav Arehu Kekalim. Zohav, gold is like kalim. Dinners of Arein Kiksafim, golden coins is like money, that also, it's increased by a half. The Pshimig Amliel Eimer, B'makam Shenogu, Shalei Leparton, in a place where the custom is, he doesn't say, does he mean gold coins or gold pieces, doesn't say, Shaman Heim Arein B'Shavim. Okay, so he says like this. The Braise says, gold is like Kalim. Okay, and then he says, golden coins are like money, that they add in value, not money, because money you invest, you make money. And Reb Shimon Gamliel says, in a place where they don't exchange coins for lesser coins, so then they're basically the same. Okay, so now the Gemara explains first what it's saying. Reb Shimon Gamliel Eimer, Reb Shimon Gamliel says, ahai, what is he going on? Reb Shimon Gamliel says, in a place where they don't exchange it, it keeps its value. Now, the beginning of the Braisa said two cases. Zahav is like vessels, and then it says gold coins. What did the Braisa say? Gold is like kelim that depreciate. Okay? Then it says gold coins are like money that appreciates. It becomes worth more. Comes along and Reb Shimon Gamliel says, no, in a place where they exchange, then it keeps the same value. But he doesn't say if he's talking about gold or gold coins. Which one is he talking about? Because there's two different dinim. The first case is gold is like kalim, okay? Which, and the Gemara is going to explain what that means. But then he says that golden coins, dinners of, are like money that appreciates, okay? So Gemara says like this. Ilema seifa, if you say he's going on the gold coins that are treated like money, and on that he says that where they exchange it, then it's not appreciated, it doesn't go up. Mekhlaut Tanakama saw fil b'mokrum shlonogul aparton. So you tell me that the Tanakama that says gold coins, I mean not gold, the end. The gold coins is like kalim, is like money. Holy nafke. But then if they don't exchange it, you can't use gold. Meaning like this. It's very simple. The Gemara said before, very simple concept. When a woman brings things into the marriage, okay, they either appreciate or depreciate or they stay the same. Okay? So the Gemara said before like this. In the Mishnah, by Amish, it says, coin, money, because you invest, money goes up. As we know, money goes to money. Everyone knows that. In fact, there's a Mishnah that says, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. A Mishnah says it by Bikurim. Because the rich people brought the first fruits that they brought to the Beis HaMikdash in silver utensils and gold utensils. So the din was they gave them back to the rich people. And the poor people brought him in cheap wicker baskets, and that the Kohanim kept.
Why?
So the Gemara says, this is what, the Mishnah says, this is what people say, rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Why did the Kohanim accept the wicker baskets and not the other stuff?
They hit somebody over the head with it. Now, so, our Mishnah says three things basically. If she brings in money, you evaluate it 1.5 times the amount. Because money brings in profit. If it's utensils she brings into the marriage, because utensils with time depreciate, so you have to deduct X amount for depreciation. Okay, that's what our Mishnah said. Now, our Gemara came along with a statement that if it's gold, not kalim, not money, gold, it stays the value. Whatever you appreciate, whatever you evaluated it, that's what it stays at. Right? That's what our Mishnah said. I mean, what the Reb Shaman said. So the Gemara says 1 minute. The Gemara is asking now, it says in the Braisa like this, gold is like utensils. We don't know what that means yet, but that's what it says. Then it says, gold coins are like money. That means you evaluate it for 1.5 times the amount. Why? Because you can invest it. Okay? Comes along to Reb Shimon Gamliel. So there's two cases in this Mishnah, in this Braisa. Gold, and then gold coins. Gold and gold coins. Gold is like kalim, whatever that means we don't know yet. And gold coins are like money that you, 1.5 times the amount. So the Gemara says, comes along to Reb Shimon Gamliel and says, 1 minute. In a place where you don't exchange gold for silver, Okay? Then it keeps its value. Okay? So now, is he talking about gold or gold coins? So Gemara says, if you're saying he goes on the end of the Braise, meaning gold coins, that the first opinion says gold coins are like money, right? That they go up 1.5 times the price.
Is that come, a year? Or
yeah, probably a year. Comes along with Shim Gamliel and says, no, if you don't exchange them, then they keep their value. Which means that Tanakama holds that even if you exchange them, he says, if they don't exchange them, they keep the value. Now, if the first opinion's arguing, that means the first opinion holds, even if you don't exchange them, they also go up in price. Right? But the Gemara says, gold is not a currency. Gold is not a currency. You can't invest gold. In the olden times, what did they do when they had gold? They exchanged it for silver, and silver was a currency. Right? To explain this, it's a very interesting mission in Bava Metzia. The Gemara over there discusses what's better, gold or silver.
Those days, silver was better, huh?
No, the Gemara has two opinions. One opinion says gold is better because it's more valuable. And the other opinion says, yeah, but you can't do anything with gold. You can't invest it. So you can't make money. So because of that, silver is better than gold. Okay? Because gold is only usable when you exchange it for silver. Gold itself is not a currency. Even Avraham Avinu, when he bought Maris and Machpelah, Shekel Kesef, he bought silver. With silver. He didn't pay with gold. He paid with silver. Right? So, if Rabbi Shimon Gamliel means that if in a place where you don't exchange it, it keeps its value, doesn't go up, but the problem is, the Gemara said, that means the first opinion says, even if you don't exchange it, it does go up. But how could that be? If you don't exchange it, it's not currency. It's worthless. So therefore we must say, Al-Rashi goes on the first case. Okay, Vahachi commented what it means. Zaha Varehu Kekelim. Gold itself is like vessels, meaning, what vessels are we talking about? Kelim Shokesef. That what? That it's only a fifth of the original price because they devaluate. And then Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Areel Kedinim Shalzah B'makom Shenogu Shalil Apartim. If they're treated like gold diners, where the practice is not to exchange them, then gold Kelim remain the value that you evaluated them at and they don't go up or down. Okay, so now what's the problem? The problem is, the Gemara just got through saying that gold, kalim, okay, keeps the value not more, not less. And according to this, gold is treated like silver. According to this opinion, gold is treated like kalim of silver that go down in value. Amish, the Rabbu said that it means that they keep the same value. In other words, Shim, the Gemara said like this. Let's do this once more. The Braisa says, first, Rab Shemin bar Abba said name of Rabbi Yechanan. If she brings in gold, it stays the same value, not more, not less. Okay? The problem is, there's another Braisa, similar to a Mishnah, that says that if she brought, the Braisa says like this, if gold is like kalim, we don't know what that means yet. So, if it means, and then it says gold coins are like silver. That means they do go up in value, because you can invest them. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, in a place where they don't exchange it for silver, that means it can't go up in value. It stays the value because it's not a currency anymore. Currency only, money only goes up because it's a currency. Gold that you don't exchange for silver means you're not, it's not a currency. Okay? Then, Sigmar says, we must say, just to understand this point, we must say that Rav Shimon Gamliel's din is going on the first case of the Braisa. The first Braisa says gold is like kalim. Gold is like kalim, which means is like this. When the Tana says gold is like vessels, he means like kalim of silver that devaluate. Because not currency, it's kalim that go down in value. Comes along Rav Shimon Gamliel, he says, no, if they don't exchange it, then it's like Zahav. That means the first opinion says that gold is like kalim that does devaluate. So that contradicts what Rav Shimon Bar said, that gold stays the same value, it doesn't go up or down. According to the Chachamim of this price, it goes down. And it can't be. Okay, so the pearl, what's the going on over here? Rabbi Yochanan said, if a woman brings gold into the marriage, you evaluate it at the time of the wedding, and that's the price it stays for the next 50 years.
Doesn't matter what kind of gold.
Gold is gold.
Kalim.
No, the question is, that's what the Gemara is saying from the second Braisa. Because the Braisa differentiates between gold and gold coins.
Yeah.
Right? But according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, that's only where you don't exchange it. But in the place you do exchange it, then it becomes like money. Because gold also goes up in price. You exchange it for currency. You invest it, and it makes more money. So then it is going to go up in price.
It doesn't matter if it's a coin or kalim, as long as it's a gold, and if you can exchange it with the currency, it goes up and down.
No, the difference is, if gold is not being exchanged, okay, it's a block of gold, so then it keeps its value. It doesn't go up, it doesn't go down. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, where you exchange it for money, it goes up. That means the first Tana says it doesn't go up.
Doesn't go up. Which case is it? Kalim of gold or coin of gold coin? Which one?
Gold.
Block of gold.
Because if it doesn't exchange it, then it's not money.
Not coins.
And it's kalim.
Right. No. And therefore, when the first Tana says gold is like kalim, the first Tana seems to imply, according to our explanation now, that it's a kalim of silver that does go down. But according to Rabbi Yechon says gold doesn't go down if it's not a coin. What?
Is there an account for carats?
Yeah, how many carats? Sure. And also there was different, you have pure silver, not pure silver. Right? You have also that...
Same with gold.
Huh?
Same with gold.
Is there a different value for 14 carat versus 24
carat? Sure. 24 carat is more expensive because it's more pure gold. Without the junk in it.
They evaluated, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They evaluated
diamonds.
Based on... That's not talking about that. No, gold.
Gold also is carats. You know, it's 14 carat, 18 carat, 24 carat.
Diamonds are carats.
Although diamonds are carats. Diamonds are also, it's a weight.
Is there oil?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the Gemara answers like this. No. Really, Rav Shimon Gamliel is going on the last case. Not about kalim, but on gold coins. Okay? And the Gemara says like this. The difference over here between Rav Shimon Gamliel and the first opinion is where gold coins are spent with difficulty, meaning it's not the normal way of doing business. But if you force people to take it, they'll take it.
Like trying to spend $1,000 bill.
They'll take it. But it's not the normal way of taking it. So the question is,
the 7-Eleven.
Is that called currency or is it not called currency? In other words, if gold coins are exchanged, or you can use them as is with difficulty, one opinion says it's still like coins. That's what Rav Shimon Gamliel says. Okay, Rav Shimon Gamliel says because it's still usable. It's difficult, it's still usable. And the Chachamim hold dinar zav, no, is like money. I'm sorry. The Chachamim hold dinar zav is like money, even though it's difficult to spend it, it's still called money. And Rav Shimon Gamliel says no. If it's gold coins that are not exchanged for silver, it's not called money. But that's the question, what's money? If you could spend it only with difficult, you know, there's certain, which country was they in? They didn't take old, old shekels, even in Israel.
Russia.
A lot of places don't take the old shekel anymore. You know, the old, not the NIS, huh? I understand, but somebody gave us old shekels, whatever, and some places refused to take it. And one place we gave it, they did take it.
Charity.
No, not because, no, they took it for money.
Yeah, many years ago, Russia money.
They saw you were a famous rabbi.
Yeah, right, that's for sure. For 100% sure. Yeah.
Or the old Persian money.
No, but I'm not, so.
With the Shah in it.
There's also other countries also, they change the currency. And a lot of places won't take the old currency, they'll only take the new currency.
Rabbi, I had no value when I was 16.
Yeah, but sometimes they'll take it, whatever. Whatever, they'll take it.
Well, getting it from you too.
So the question is, the Chachamim, when they say gold coins are like money, and Rav Shimon Gamliel says no, if they're not exchanged for silver, they're not money, what's the argument? The argument is very simple. It's not usable as currency, but it's usable with difficulty. So according to Chachamim, Chachamim say the fact that you can still use it, quite even though it's difficult, it's still called money. And therefore they go up in value. And Abshim Gamil says no, if they're not exchanged for silver, it's not currency, and therefore they stay the same value that they were estimated, evaluated it, and they don't go up.
Doesn't mean they, nobody changed it. Everybody changed it, but it's not.
No, Ideat Chak means.
Difficulty means like.
No, Ideat Chak means it's a difficult. People only accept it.
Yeah.
It cannot readily exchange.
Yeah, it's extra time, effort. You go to the supermarket, give him coin gold. He has to go exchange it with the silver, right?
Yeah.
It's as a time
so some places will take it, some places he won't.
Yeah.
So it's not accessible. You know that legally, let's say you go to the store and you have a $100 bill. Yeah? The bill in the store is $100. Yeah? And you pay them with pennies. They can't stop you.
It's legal tender.
It's legal tender. They can't say, I'm not taking it. That's illegal because it's currency. Huh? Mm-hmm. What? They have to take it.
No. The copper is worth more than a penny.
That's that they should take and melt it.
No,
they have to take it. No. Should they do?
No.
They have a right not to take it?
There's no enforcement.
So if I give them a dollar bill, they have a right to say I don't want to take it?
Private business.
Okay.
No, I'm telling you from experience.
No, okay, because I have a right to say I don't want to sell it to you anyway. Then you get sued.
It doesn't mean it's legal.
I called the police. There's no law that makes him have to take
you. So he doesn't have to take your $5 bill either? Okay, but I'm not saying that.
No,
you go into a bank, okay, whatever. Yeah, legally, they have to take it.
If the bank
it's currency. It's currency.
Right, the banks don't take your loose pennies.
They'll take it.
And
they take it.
Loose pennies?
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll take it. They have to count it, and they credit your account later.
Unless you put it in one of those pie machines.
Okay. Then you lose 11%. It's true. Ibai say my another answer is what?
Some banks will take it and count it and credit you later. Other banks, like Bank of America, Chase Bank.
I think they quit doing that.
They'll give you cash right away.
But you have to be
a lot of banks won't.
But then you have to roll it yourself, though.
No, you have to roll it yourself.
Okay, let's get back to
the loose coins you can take to some banks in the back.
Okay. Ibai same or another answer is this. It's not even an argument between the Chachamim and Rav Shimon Gamliel. The whole Braisa of Rav Shimon Gamliel. It's missing. This is what it should have said. This is what the Braisa says according to this version. Zahav areo kukelim. Okay? Gold is like utensils, meaning it stays the same value. Dinrim Zahav and Anka Ksafim. Gold coins are like money, that they're appreciated. They go up. But mad vana mamorim when the Malkum Shinagul Apartum, when gold coins become exchanged for currency, and then they become currency. Alva Bumakum Shinagul Shloy Apartum, in a place where the custom is not to exchange gold into currency, Shaman Aisivayam Bishavayam. Then they keep the same value dividend of Shimon Gamliel. Why? So Rav Shimon Gamliel says, "B'makom shenago shalei lepartin, in a place where the locale, the place doesn't exchange gold for currency, it stays its value and it doesn't go up." Okay, this, so the whole question is, it's not, so therefore it's not a contradiction to what Rabbi Yechon has said before, that if she brings into the marriage gold, evaluate it for the price and that's it. What about gold coins? So then it depends. According to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, if you exchange gold coins for currency, then it goes up in price. If you don't, then it has a din like regular gold. It stays the same price. Okay. But the Gemara asked a question, but it should have said Kalev. Should have said, not, it's like Kalim. If you're talking about gold, it's like its own Kalim. What's this kasha? Okay, you have a question. Another question, another answer is, he boys him another answer. Okay? Hachav Maiskin, here we're speaking, the Dava Pricha, chips of gold that depreciate when they're used. Okay? Meaning, why? No. Small piece, like chips, gold chips, mm-hmm. that you lose them.
Those gold though.
It's like gold.
What is chips?
Little pieces of gold.
Small tiny pieces.
File it.
So it says, so then the Dava Pricha, because depleted when handled, why? So Rashi says the reason for that is because you end up losing them. And Abyechanin is speaking by large pieces of gold. So large pieces of gold, coins, gold stays the value. Gold dust depreciates because you push it, end up losing it. Part of it.
And coin too, you might lose them.
No, if it's a big coin, it's good. You know, small things get lost.
Yeah.
Big pieces stay. So, in fact, it's a conclusion. Gold pieces, large gold pieces, they don't depreciate. They stay the same value. Small chips of gold go down in value because you end up losing them. Gold coins, if they're exchanged for currency, they go up. If not, they stay the same appraised value. Gold utensils, okay, they keep their same value because gold doesn't get ruined. Gold kalim. Other utensils, okay, they go down a fifth. Not gold. Gold doesn't go down. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. Amar Rabbi Yannai. Okay, so now the Gemara so far was discussing a woman brings gold or silver or, you know, other things. Now the Gemara said, what happens if she brings spices into the wedding, into the marriage? Okay, now, we have to understand what's going on over here. When the woman brings stuff into the marriage, okay, it's her principle. The husband can use it and get the profit, but the principle is hers. Okay? So let's say she brings in $100 of money into the wedding, yeah? Or land. Okay? Let's make it a normal number. She brings $1,000 of land into the wedding. Yeah? So the husband can cultivate the land, eat the profits of the land. But the land that she brought in after they get divorced or dies is her land. Okay? So you need to evaluate it at the beginning, and then based on what it is, if it depreciates or appreciates. Okay, that's what it is. But now the Gemara says like this: Amar Rav Yanai, Psamim shel Antuchia, Harein Kiksofen. Spices of the city, because it increases 1.5 times the amount. Why? Because these spices are very profitable on the market.
It's like currency.
So it's like currency. That's what the Mishnah say, that he's saying. It's mamish like money. I'm going to chew up by Nachman, I'm going to be innocent. What?
I'm going to say, if, let's just say a husband and a wife. The husband won't give a wife a get. Does she still get the stuff? Or it has to be completely...
It's her stuff, but she won't get it yet. Gemalim shel Arabia, camels of Arabia. Okay? So then, Isha gave a parno mehem. The woman can get, again, the profit of 1/2. It's like currency. Huh? No, it means over here 1/2. Yeah, but it depends how you count the third. It's actually it's like a quarter, a fifth is a quarter, and a third is 1/2 in this case. Amar Papi, Hana Tusvid de Bay Michsi, these shirts of Bay Mechizel, which are included, Isha Gaiva Parnamehem. She also gets 1/2 of the profit. Okay?
Are these tutvis?
Oh?
Are these tutvis?
Shirts.
Shirts?
Hmm?
Not dresses.
Smallest. Smaller.
Smallest is it? Dresses?
When Yosef gave the brothers smallest, what did he give them? Dresses?
Yes.
What?
Cloaks, togas, no?
It could be shirts, it could be pants, it could be anything.
Give them spandex.
Okay. Bamer Papi, the Papa says, Hanisaka Drudyeva Ashleg de Kamchuna. Sacks of Radya and ropes of Kimchonya. Then Isa also Isha gave a Parno Mehem. The woman also gets more than money. Again, 1/2. Okay. Lepeil. By the way, Taisus Taka says it means 1/2. Rashi says a third Taisus means 1/2. But the Lebel, they get 1/2. Meaning it's like money. Okay, now Amar Rav Rava said like this. Meirei Shava Amina, at first they used to say, Hani ar nekir de mechuzah, if a husband died, leaving bags of money in the city of mechuzah, Isha goiva parno mehem, she collects her ksuba, she could collect the ksuba from it. My time, why? As mechtaru alayu, they rely on them for security. Meaning like this. A husband dies, he has to pay the ksuba. Well, the heirs pay the ksuba. Okay? So initially, Rava said like this. Normally, you don't collect from metaltalin. You don't collect from movable items, only from land. Right? But Rava says, initially, I thought that in the city of Mechuzah, where people use this stuff, and this is what they relied on as security for the ksuba, they would collect it from the money. My timer, as machtai olayol, they. Is this still working? Because you got phone calls coming in.
Usually it goes up. After getting phone calls, it's usually.
You put it up in mode.
You can start over again.
My time, yeah, right. As Machtalal, she's relying on him for security. Okay? But, Kivin, the Chazoy, the Shoklev, and Nafke, but now I saw that they take them as exuber payments and go out, the Chimash, Kecha'ar, Zavnu, and when they find land, they buy it with the money. So then, what do you see? Rava says, now I see that they don't rely on the money for security. Because what did the women do? The women would take the money and buy land. So what's their security?
The land.
Land. So therefore he said, like, now I realize they can only collect land, not money.
Because they...
And as Rava said, initially I thought, then the guys leave over bundles of money, cash, that's what the women are relying on, and that's their security, and therefore that's what they would get. But now I see that the women would take the money and buy land, so I see now that the land is the security, not the cash. What?
Usually she collects the money from Aksuba if he divorces her.
Or dies.
Or dies also. She doesn't inherit money.
If there are no heirs, she gets it?
A wife, halachically, let's keep this out. California law, community property. According to Torah, a wife never inherits the husband.
Even if there are no heirs?
No. His brothers get, his father gets.
What if there are no heirs?
There can be.
The cousins.
Go back all the way up to Yaakov Avinu. In Torah law, a wife does not inherit the husband.
Unless he's a ger.
No.
In today's world?
Huh?
In today's world?
There's no world today.
I mean, today's situation?
But the wife could inherit from her father, you know, in the marriage, and still her property.
In other words, where does a wife have property to bring into a marriage? She inherits from her father. Let's say the father died, her father died. There are no kid, no boys. So the girls inherit, correct? But the wife never inherits. The kids inherit.
She inherits from her husband.
What?
Inherits from
the
deceased husband.
Who? Wife does not. No, not in Torah law.
Daughters,
even if there's no children?
Yep.
But he can write a will, right? That if he dies.
And if he has no...
Today, listen, today it's done. It's done differently. One second. It's done differently today.
Of course it is.
According to biblical law, even at Yisrael, they don't do... They do...
No living relatives?
It would go to his brothers first, his father first.
Goes into limbo.
Who? There's no relative. It can't be. The only one that can have no relatives?
A guy can't die with no relatives?
Impossible. Because there's another Jew in the world that somehow is related. It keeps going back up, all the way up to Avraham Avinu.
So you could be a 28th cousin.
You can have a 28th cousin 15th time removed. The only guy, the Gemara says, Ve'im eino ish goyel is the pasuk in Chumash. If the guy has no relatives, so Rashi says, how is that possible? A guy converts, becomes a Jew, never marries, so he has absolutely, halachically, no relatives, so then it becomes free for all.
Not even the wife? Even at that point?
No.
Well, if it's free for all, she can take it.
Yeah, if it's free for all, she can grab it like anybody else could.
Today?
Okay, no. In biblical law, we went through the 30 ones. In biblical law, okay, Torah says, a guy dies, if they're boys, the girls don't get anything. Correct? Torah law. So what do they do today if a guy has three boys and three girls and he wants all six kids to get equal? Because biblically, as soon as he dies...
He gives gifts.
As soon as he dies, the boys automatically get it and the girls get nothing. But the father, the parents want the kids, the girls should get something. So what do? They write... It's a type of a will. It's a will that you write in the will that 1 minute before I die, all my kids get X amount of money.
As a gift.
Yeah, as a gift.
Yeah.
Okay, then he could do it. He could do whatever I want when I'm alive. Right? But he doesn't want to give it now. His kids, well, then they won't daven, he should die because they have all the money.
His wife too. He can give his wife too.
He can give his wife too. Okay, so then, if he wants to. Because the wife has to be supported by the kids anyway. Right? As part of the ksuba. So let's say, there's six kids and a wife. Yeah, and he wants everybody to get equal. Yeah? So right, and let's say he has, for argument's sake, over $7,000. Let's say he has $7,500. Okay? And he has seven people that he wants to inherit, boys and girls. Yeah? So write in the will that 1 minute before I die, so he's still alive, I'm giving everybody of these seven people $1,000. Right? And let's say you're left with $500 or less or whatever. So then, but you don't want to take away the biblical laws of inheritance. There's a concept of biblical laws of inheritance. So you can leave over, let's say, $100. And that $100, the three boys will split it, and the girls will get nothing, and the wife will get nothing. So he did the law of inheritance, according to Torah. right, that everybody who's supposed to be getting gets and the others don't, but it's a minimal amount of money. And then everything else, the big billions of dollars that he has, he gives away to each kid equally.
What they do, people in here? Like Chabad?
Sure, we do it.
They do it?
Fardim don't do that?
I don't know.
That's the only halachic way of doing it. If you want to keep Taira, how else can you give the daughters money?
Because like Persian is always fighting. Someone dies, who's going to get the money?
Exactly.
Always fighting.
There's a guy in the shul, he said, I'm giving all my kids my money when I'm alive. I don't want them to daven that should die. They should fight over them.
But anyway, probate court, they say that.
Not if you make a trust.
No, if there's no trust, when they're fighting.
Okay, so I'm saying, if you make a trust,
yeah,
that takes care of the government, so there's no probate, right? And then you do it to help you din, that it should be... There's a guy, there's from lawyers that advertise halachic wills. Halachic wills.
These are all the same by Sephardic Ashkenazi Chabad.
What mean?
No, I don't know.
What is Chabad? No, a mamzer by itself? Not Sephardic, not Ashkenazi? What is this?
Halacha,
is halacha.
It's the same. You know, something is like, a lot of
it's Torah.
Can a person give a gift when he's alive to whoever he wants?
Yes.
Can I give my daughters and my sons equally gifts? Okay? Okay. So why can I not give it 1 minute in the stipulated in the legal document that 1 minute before I die, and this is a gift given to all these people. Now, you don't want to take all your money and do it like that, because you still want to leave over something for the din of Yerusha, din of inheritance. So you're right. So let's say, again, you leave over $100 from the $100,000, whatever. You leave $100 that everybody does the din of Yerusha properly, meaning the sons get and the girls don't get and the wife doesn't get, whatever. And the rest of the money, everybody gets equally.
So I think if you go through this elaborate, should I say
scheme? It's not a scheme. It's a legal thing.
It's not a scheme. No, it's not a scheme in the
legal
loophole. No.
It's not a loophole. Why is it a loophole?
A scheme is the term of like just going about, you know, planning it. If you go about this plot,
yeah,
then God knows you love him if you finish it this way and you give away 99%.
You're not giving your stuff yet until you die, basically, the minute before you die.
But you gotta tell your kids. You gotta tell your kids what the situation is. You hope they would know. You know?
Right.
You hope that your kids will know what's going on.
You tell them 2 minutes before.
Huh?
Tell them 2 minutes before.
No, a lot of kids, the parents tell the kids beforehand. They should know exactly what's going on.
Yeah?
Yeah, why not? That's the way you do it.
It also softens the impact. I'm going to dive.
Clouds brought down that a will, you write a will, is a school to live long.
Anxiety.
That or buying a
plot. Did he leave me any?
Anger plot is also a school. There was a guy, Nebuch, whatever he touched in business went down. He would never. So somebody suggested he should buy a mortuary, then nobody would die. Okay, let's start the next mission. Next mission is very interesting. Amasi is Bitei Stam. Okay, now the Chachamim said like this. A father needs to marry off his daughters, right? So he wants to get eligible suitors for the kids. So the Chachamim instituted that the father has to dress the girls, you know, in proper clothing. So the Mishnah says, Amasi is Bitei Stam. If a father needs to marry off his daughter, and he doesn't say how much dowry he's giving her for her clothes, he cannot give her less than 50 zuz. You remember we learned before in the Mishnah the obligations of a husband to the wife, how much clothes and how much food and how much, remember? So it says the minimal amount of clothing is 50 zuz. Even a poor man cannot give less than 50 zuz a year for his wife's clothing.
Inflation adjusted, what does that come out to?
We don't inflate. No inflation in Jewish money. In Russia, they would say, Chaykak's Plevina.
Even a poor father should
provide. That's saying, no, but the Mishnah's a Leivchis means he can't give less, meaning even if he's poor. The Mishnah's not going to say, if the guy is wealthier, he has to give more. But this is the minimum. Now, what happens? pasuk lachnisa aruma. The father stipulates, okay, to bring her into the chuppah without any clothing whatsoever. In other words, he tells his future son-in-law, listen, kid, I am not clothing her at all. Nothing. I'm not paying a cent for her clothing. You want to do it? It's up to you. So the husband should not say, okay, you know, that's the case. Shachnisa lebesi, when I marry her into my house, then I'll give her clothing. No, it doesn't work like that. The husband has to clothe her while she's still in the father's house. Okay? Meaning, even though they're not married yet, but they had kedushin, obviously. So if the father makes up, because again, the din is any financial arrangement, you can make conditions on it. Right? So normally there's a biblical obligation, or rabbinic obligation, for a father to clothe his daughter. What happens if the father makes up with the future son-in-law? Says, listen, I'm not doing it. It's your, and the son-in-law accepts it. Obviously. Right? He's still going with the marriage. So then, the son-in-law, the future son-in-law can't say, okay, when she's married into my house, that's when I'll clothe her, but not in your house. Then he has to give her clothing right away. V'chein amasi es ha'yaseima, an administrator of a tzedakah that marries off orphans. So there's no parents, obviously. La'yev chosla mi'chamishim zuz, she cannot give her less than 50 zuz of clothing. Im yesh pakis, if there's more funds in the tzedakah, you know, in the tzedakah coffer, mefanis and eisel lefichvei, he has to give her based on her glory. Meaning, if she comes from a wealthy family, but she's an orphan, remember we learned before with Nagdim Ben Gurion's daughter over there, then you have and the Gemara's going to go into the mitzvah tzedakah over here a little bit. So then you have to clothe her and give her the dowry based on what she is accustomed to.
So what is basically, this Mishnah teaching us that the either father has to give
a
clothing.
Either dowry at least 50 zuz.
If not, the future.
That husband. No, it's only if he makes up with him. No. The son-in-law could say, no, I'm not doing it.
Oh, okay.
I don't accept it.
Oh, you can. Yes.
So then the father has to do it. Right?
Someone has to
do Benz it. Benzdin forces the father to do it. They force him. If not, they take from his estate.
Oh. It's the father's obligation.
Yeah, but if the Mishnah says, if the father, the chiddush of the Mishnah is not that the son-in-law can make it up, then agree to it. The chiddush is that even though, when the son-in-law agrees to clothe her, right, he can't say, okay, not until after we're married. He has to clothe her right away. Even though she didn't even come to his house yet.
Why?
Because the son-in-law
not proper. She needs to have clothes.
Because of the kavod of the...
Yeah.
They're getting married. They're going into
the kavod.
Yeah.
They might go to parties. Somebody else might be getting married.
Does that
include her wedding dress?
$5,000 Chanel.
I don't know if they had wedding dresses those days. But the clothing. They had to have clothing.
The dress you got married in was your wedding dress.
They ask for it.
They had to wait a year before they got married, so they had to save the money up.
They had to save the money up. They had to cook and make their own clothes. They didn't go to a bridal shop and buy a gown.
No.
They have to go make it from scratch.
It looks like the girls were like a burden on the father those days. The way the Mishnah is... No?
The reason why it was a burden because the boys at least went out and made money. The girls didn't work in those days. The girls didn't go out to make money. It was not proper, not sneas. She had to be home. So it was improper for a girl to, there was no thing as women working in those days.
No secretaries.
Okay, what?
No secretaries.
No secretaries. I mean, women worked in the house, they would, like, we learned weaving and sewing and all that, the cooking and that the obligations were. But women didn't work. So, basically, why did the father marry off the kid so young? The Torah said, the father was able to marry off his kid even under Bas Mitzvah. Because he couldn't afford them. The boys at least went out and made a living. They worked. Either they worked on the farm, or if it was agriculture, or else they went out to work. And the parent, and the girls, was a burden, yeah. Financial burden, not a financial burden. Today, boys and girls are a financial burden. They need the cars and this and the phones and the this and the that.
They're 40, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying, they need
goddamn those pesky kids.
Yeah, 100%. So marry them off as soon as possible. Let somebody else pick that next. Okay, now, so now it is like this. We learned before in the Gemara also there's 50 zuz. You can have simple coins, and you can have what the Mishnah calls the tzur, zuzim of tzur, which was more expensive coins. So now the Gemara is going to say, when the Mishnah says 50 coins, 50 zuz, does it mean cheap zuz or the expensive zuz? Which one is it? Amar Abaya, chamishim zuz, when the Mishnah says 50 zuz, it means chamishim zuz pshita. Not the Tyrian expensive coins. How do I know? Tony say, because at the end of the Mishnah it says, yesh b'kis, if the organization has money, you support it based on, honor. Ramininen, it says, my kiss, what is a kiss? What coffer are we talking about? And Rochava says, Arnakishot Tzedakah means the coffer of charity. Like we just explained in the Mishnah. If you're talking means real, real zuz, who in the world would ever give a girl 50 zuz? Even the wealthy girls don't have it. In other words, like this, the Mishnah said, a guy marrying off orphans, right? I mean, the community, yeah? So the community had to give an orphan girl 50 zuz. And then the Mishnah continues and says, if there's more money in the coffers, they have to give him more. Mar says, the wealthy girls didn't even have 50 of the expensive zuz. So why should this orphan get it? You know what I mean? So therefore, Abaye says it must mean simple zuz. And then the Mishnah says at the end, if there's more money in the coffer, so then you give him more money.
That's two kinds of zuz?
Yeah.
Cheap
and expensive. V'yisal kadai t'chamishim zuz mamish im yesh b'kis kam avinale. You can, it was an excessive dowry for many brides. Why should they give this orphan more? So the Gemara says, Shema mino chamishim zuz pshita. So therefore, Abaye says it means if 50, what?
Common.
Right. By the way, he just makes a cheshbon over here of the, Okay. Tyron zuz is 0.129 troy ounce. According to Rambam, it's 0.154 troy ounce. Okay, 50 tyron zuz would be 6.45. Or 7.7. Okay, so it was, 50 would be $46.20.
Troy ounce of gold?
Yeah, silver. Silver. Zuz is currency of silver. So it just says, it's very little money. Even the value of the ksuba, it says a person is supposed to be able to support themselves for a year. That was when the Chum said 200 zuz, right? It was basically just to be able to be supported for a year. But if you had 200 zuz in today's currency, it's very little. You wouldn't be able to survive a year. That's why many people say the value of the ksuba today is much, much, much more. It should be basically enough to survive a year.
But nobody changes. They keep it the same.
Today, nobody collects the ksuba, because in the settlement, they get much more. Much more than the ksuba really says.
So it's like formalite.
Huh?
Just like they have to write it, but it doesn't mean anything.
I have to write it, because otherwise they can't live together if you don't have a ksuba.
No, so it's like...
It's not that they don't collect the ksuba.
Huh?
It's not that they don't collect the ksuba. They collect the ksuba. But in the settlement, they get the ksuba plus. It's not that nobody collects the ksuba
but why
today.
Why don't change the text? Like
you don't change the rabbinic text. Yep. You can add to the base ksuba.
Like we used to do.
Yeah, millions of them. But then we told you even then to stop because you know what happens.
God.